Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. I would like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2. We've been looking at verse number 16, which says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. And we've been looking at the issue of where the Apostle Paul has been speaking about this going to the Gentiles and how the nation of Israel as a whole was trying to prevent the message of salvation from going out to the Gentile nations. And how the Apostle Paul, and where we left off last time, was him identifying himself as the Apostle of the Gentiles. And how the scriptures in Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon, are identifying the fact that there is a unique message that is to be going out to the Gentiles, that's separate from anything that God was doing with the nation of Israel, where Israel had all the promises related to a kingdom that was going to be set up here on the earth. Their gospel message revolved around the fact that they had to identify the Lord Jesus Christ as the Christ, the Messiah, the one that had been prophesied to come, and how that's a unique message compared to what is given to the Apostle Paul, where the gospel that's committed unto him is the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. A person putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. A message going out to the Gentiles, a message related to a heavenly promise, not a earthly promise, and how Paul identifies the fact, if we go over to Galatians chapter number 1, we see where it is that Paul actually received the message that he's going out and proclaiming here. And here in Galatians chapter number 1, we're going to look at verses 11 and 12, and it says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And how individuals really try to put this idea out there of that everything that Paul was preaching was coming from his own thought process, that it had nothing to do with God. And Paul declares exactly where it is that he was receiving this information, that everything that he's proclaiming in his epistles comes from direct revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the words of Jesus Christ being given unto us for us to be following, for us to be having as part of who we are. And how Paul can declare what he says. Let's go over to Romans chapter number 16 to see what it is that he's going to say about this message that he's going out there and proclaiming. And we see here in Romans chapter number 16, we're going to read here starting at verse number 25. It says, now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel, in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And Paul declaring here that it was given unto him that he was to establish individuals according to the gospel that was given unto him, what he calls my gospel identifies as the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which is something that could not be said of any other author in Scripture, because everyone else that's declaring things related to Lord Jesus Christ is declaring it according to the prophetic program. That's why you see that Paul declaring here of the issue of it was kept secret since the world began. So from Genesis 1:1 forward, the information that's given to the Apostle Paul was kept secret. It's now made manifest. It's now revealed. So that way individuals could actually be able to receive the salvation that is being given unto mankind for today. And this is the message of Paul in his ministry. And that's why you see him describe the things of that it was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That Paul truly understood exactly what it is that he was supposed to do. That he was to be going out, declaring this message. You see it mentioned in Acts chapter number 9, Acts chapter number 26, as he recounts what happened in Acts chapter number 9. The issues of how he was to be going out and preaching to the Gentiles. Now, one of the things that, you know, really comes up when you look at this idea, and because people fail to understand the idea of rightly dividing the word of truth, fail to understand this idea of that there's information that's given specifically to the body of Christ, and they'll ask the question of, well, why would the nation of Israel really oppose what's going on? And their thought process comes from the fact that they think there's only one gospel message throughout all the Bible, and that the nation of Israel, who was supposed to be going out and giving that gospel message to the Gentiles as part of the Great Commission, they say, well, Israel really wouldn't be opposing this because it's part of what they're supposed to be doing. And really not understanding the fact that there is an opposition that the nation of Israel had, you know, one against things going out to the Gentiles, but also opposing that he was the Christ, that the nation as a whole really did reject everything that God was doing, rejecting the whole program that God has had. And how you see this, if we go back over to Galatians chapter number 1, we're going to see here something that the Apostle Paul describes about himself prior to his salvation and how he had a role in this opposition to what God was doing. Here in Galatians chapter number 1, we're going to read here verses 13 and 14. Which say, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And you see how Paul is, he's describing what it was that he was doing, that there was, he says, in time past. So prior to him seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven's glory, that there was a time that he was persecuting the church of God. He was wasting it. He was opposing the things of God to the point of where it describes what he was getting out of it was that he was profiting in this. So there was a perceived benefit of opposing the things that God was doing. And it says that he profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation. So as he's opposing these things, describing him opposing the ministry of Peter, James, John, the other apostles, that he was profiting in this above so many other people in the nation of Israel. And we see how this opposition really is going on here. If we go over to Acts chapter number 8, we're going to see how Luke describes what is going on here. And this is going to be after the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter number 7, where the third and final offer of the kingdom that's being made to the nation of Israel, and how the nation rejected this offer, the kingdom being made. And now we're going to see the result of what's going on here in Acts chapter number 8. We're going to start here at verse number 1. It says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." And so we see how what's being described of what Saul of Tarsus, who's, you know, later going to be known as Paul, that it describes a persecution going on of the church. It calls it havoc. The result being that the individuals who are supposed to be staying in Jerusalem preaching that message, that they're scattered abroad. It says throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. They flee from Jerusalem and just go out and are essentially on the run from this persecution that's going on, where Saul is going, you know, going into houses, he's throwing people into prison. And that's what you see happening in the beginning part of Acts chapter number 9, is that he's, since they've all fled, he's now going to start going after them and start trying to round them up as a result of this. And that persecution all being the result of the fact that what they were doing was completely inside the plan of God, because this is what God's program was focused on. Now, if we go over here, we continue in the book of Acts, and we'll look at Acts chapter number 21 for a moment. So now we're going to be, you know, farther on. This is going to be after the salvation of Paul, after he's starting to go out and he's preaching information. We're going to go down here to verse number 20 of Acts chapter number 21. And it says, "And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law." So here we have Paul, who's gone to Jerusalem, where in chapter number 8 we had seen all of these individuals fleeing from Jerusalem because of the persecution that was going on. And now by the time we get to Acts chapter number 21, we see that there are thousands of individuals who are in Jerusalem specifically to celebrate that feast day. It says that they are zealous of the law. They are there, they are following what God's instructions were for the law, and there was not the persecution, there was not the opposition to the program related to the nation of Israel. And anytime we see with whatever it is that God is doing, that the opposition happens to go exactly with what it is that God is doing. There is no opposition that comes from Satan. There's no opposition that comes from man related to anything that is contrary to what the Word of God says, because those are the things that are already away from God. That opposition is only going to be towards the things that are related to God's program. That's why you see that as Paul starts his ministry, that all of the opposition goes exactly with the Apostle Paul and what it is that he's doing. And that's why you see him describe, if we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, he's going to list out a number of things that happened to him as a result of carrying out this ministry. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, we're going to start here at verse number 23. And it says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Now, it's almost kind of tiring just to read all of the different things that came about as a result of the Apostle Paul functioning as the apostle of the Gentiles, functioning, preaching the message of the dispensation of the grace of God, and all of this opposition that comes upon him, all of these different things that just, and it seems like it's just one thing after another after another. And that's what you see when you read in the book of Acts, that everywhere he's going, there's just opposition that keeps coming up trying to prevent him from getting this message out. And this is what you see Paul describing over in to the assembly in Thessalonica about how those who are part of the nation of Israel were trying to prevent the message from going to the Gentiles, trying to prevent all of these things from happening. And how they're trying to prevent it is by doing all of these things that are going to be opposing the message from going out. And as these things of this, you know, the persecution, the tribulation that's coming up upon Paul and those who are ministering with him, each individual has to start making a choice about whether they want to continue to do the things that they're, you know, supposed to do related to the Word of God, or whether they feel enough is enough, I don't want to have to go through any of these things anymore, and the only way I'm going to be able to avoid them is by stopping the preaching of this message. That's what you see that happen as Paul starts naming names of individuals who loved this world and forsook him, that they are individuals who did not want to have to deal with any of these things anymore. And Paul makes it very clear that this is part of the Christian experience. He talks about the sufferings that we're supposed to have, that we're going to suffer for his sake. He describes something that's going to be coming up for those who are the members of the body of Christ. If we go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, he's going to describe something here related to thing as he's telling Timothy in this final epistle that he's writing, describing these things that are going on here. And we're going to start here at verse number 10 of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And it says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came upon me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, what happens today is individuals really have a bad understanding of what persecution actually is. You know, they might share the gospel with someone, and you know, someone calls them a name as they're sharing the gospel with them, and they say, "Well, see, I suffered persecution for God today because of this opposition that came up with me." Now, Paul does make it very clear as he's describing it to Timothy about how, you know, he witnessed these things of, you know, he witnessed these persecutions. He knew what they were. And Paul actually gives him these cities at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. These are cities that you can see if you read through the book of Acts. You see Paul going there, ministering in these cities, and you see the opposition he had. You know, he's stoned, presumed to be dead, dragged out of the city and left there, and then he stands up and dusts himself off and goes on to the next city. You know, that's what the idea of persecution is, that it's a thing of where it's something that's either approaching death or death that's going to come about as a result of somebody preaching this message. Those are the things that are coming for the body of Christ. Those are the things that each individual is going to have to make the decision as they're happening of whether they want to continue to proclaim this message. Now, this is the opposition by man, but you see that Satan's also going to be opposing this message going forth. Let's go back over to 2 Corinthians. We'll go to chapter number 11 again. And we're going to read a little bit earlier in the chapter this time, describing what it is that Satan's going to be doing to oppose this message. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, we're going to read here starting at verse number 13. And it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed, as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And so you see that Paul, as he's describing this, is laying out the fact that how Satan's opposing the things is, you know, he's not going to be trying to get people to, you know, stop proclaiming anything related to God. He's going to be proclaiming, as it says, they're transforming themselves as the ministers of righteousness, trying to appear as if they're proclaiming some good things, but everything's going to be truly opposed to the things of what God is actually doing. So that opposition would be declaring things out of the Word of God, but it being related to a performance-based system, trying to proclaim the things of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and saying that that's the message that should be going out today. Trying to proclaim the things of the early part of the book of Acts, and saying that this is the pattern that should be happening. All of those things have an appearance of righteousness, taking people away from what the truth of the Word of God would be for them today. And this is the opposition, because the opposition really comes up trying to prevent the things of God's Word being declared. And that's why when Paul says back in our text about how that they were opposing, you know, and it says they were forbidding us to speak to Gentiles, they're forbidding that, trying to prevent this from occurring, because this is exactly what God was doing and the opposition is going to be trying to prevent that from going on. Now, we're going to pick up in our next episode looking at this idea of the salvation that was being proclaimed to the Gentile nations and how that's really contrary to everything that was part of Israel's program. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they're happening on Facebook. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything you see on our website, anything you hear in our broadcast, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight of faith and proclaiming this message to this lost and dying world.